Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Taysom Hill, the motion man, Rattler under pressure. Ball is out. He fumbled, and it's recovered by Chicago. Montez Sweat able to jar that loose, and the Bears have it at the 24-yard line of New Orleans. No official signal yet. Maybe it has changed hands at the bottom of the pile, but there were two Bears and one quarterback. And it's Chicago ball. The Saints cough it up inside the 25. Jervon Dexter recovers after the Montez Sweat strip.
Hey, sometimes the good Lord just has a freaking plan for you that you don't know about. Yes, sir. Yeah. And sometimes you ain't good enough for somewhere else.
Free.
That's perfectly fine.
Yes, sir.
I love being here. Yes, and I love being with this group of guys. Yes, sir. You guys work your damn off, yes, sir. Right? But four ain't enough. Yeah. Four ain't enough. You're next one. Let's go get that.
You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BUC Bank and Greg Clips. Judson Richards along with you. The voice you heard, that was Dennis Allen after the game. There was just one ball given out by head coach Ben Johnson that went to the former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, Dennis Allen, who beat his former team. And boy, oh boy, it felt like he had the answers to the test. That'll happen when you're in a place for almost a decade like Dennis Allen was there last year and going all the way back to 2015. The Times-Picayune, the newspaper in New Orleans, I love this this headline that they have over the Bears' win atop their Saints. It says, "Da Bears," but it says D period A period. As for Dennis Allen's nickname, D.A. And that really was the story of the game, besides the rushing attack yet again for the Bears. 40 carries for the Bears on the ground, 222 yards, DeAndre Swift. 19 carries for 124. Kyle Manunga goes 13 carries for 81 yards. But the Bears defense, 4 takeaways, and now 15 takeaways in their last 4 games. They've got 16 takeaways on the season, and that is the best in the NFL. Let's talk to a guy who knows a little something about Dennis Allen, Scott Baer, joining us now, the Marquee Sports Network. And Scott, at one point, covered the then Oakland Raiders when Dennis Allen was the head coach there. So Scott has a unique perspective about Dennis Allen. And Scott, let's begin here. Did you think that this was a revenge game, or did this just more like he had the answers to the test and had his defense ready to go?
Yeah, I think it was an emotional game because he'd played
against the Raiders as Saints head coach, and he'd won, and I don't think the Raiders offense got past midfield in 2022. But in this one, he spent 15 of his, 24, 25 NFL coaching seasons with the New Orleans Saints. Getting fired in season is a rough exit for a place that means so much to you. So I do think that he wanted to win this one. But to your point, he had all the answers and knew how to, sorry for the pun, but rattle Spencer Rattler. I thought he did an excellent job blitzing defensive backs. With Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker having a sack, linebacker Tremaine Edmonds also had one. But there's also like simulated pressures. Like there's times where there's seven, sometimes eight dudes on the line of scrimmage. He's still only sending four, but that quarterback has no idea which four. Four sacks for the pass rush, seven quarterback hits, and all around really good defensive effort. And I think it starts with Dennis Allen, who is really starting to gain some belief with these and trust with these players that he's giving them a strategic advantage when he makes up that play sheet.
And besides just the game against the Saints, like, you know, the 15 takeaways in four games, but and the defense has been playing really well for quite some time. What else has impressed you about what Dennis Allen has done for the Bears as defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think that a sign of good coaching is when you have a problem and then somebody goes into the lab and they fix it, right? That's very clear with the rushing offense. The rushing defense had given up 240 yards to the Raiders, who have really struggled. And then they come out of the bye week, they make some personnel changes, and they get T.J. Edwards, and they get Kyler Gordon back, which helps Dennis Allen call the type of game that he wants to call, and this run defense gets shored up. So I do think that is important, that we're starting to see schematic switches pay off. And if these guys can be solutions-oriented, it keeps them competitive all the time. Even if they have a bad week, it doesn't necessarily have to lead to a bad month.
And what about Tremaine Edmonds and how well he's done? They've really asked he and T.J. Edwards to switch positions, and Tremaine was brought in to be really help and be Matt Eberflus' guy with how he fit his defense, but he's really thriving so well under Dennis Allen.
Yeah, and that's been evidence. I've covered Dennis Allen at multiple stops, and when I was in Atlanta, one of his proteges was a defensive coordinator there, so there were lots of similar elements. And that Mike linebacker has got to be an old school sideline to sideline dude, kind of like how DeMario Davis plays it. And Tremaine Edmonds, even from the very beginning, going back to the spring, Dennis Allen said, this guy is going to be an explosive playmaker for us. He's a giant mountain of a man with a huge wingspan, and he's really fast for his size. So he can do those kind of tackling things. And he can blitz at times. He can be good in coverage. He now has three interceptions. I would caution, though, not to overlook the contributions of not only Tremaine Edmonds, but Tremaine Edmonds plus T.J. Edwards. Mm-hmm. Those guys have worked together for two-plus seasons now, and they really understand each other. They understand how to work in the middle. There is excellent communication between those guys. I think those two are better than the sum of their parts, and their parts are pretty good.
Yeah, Tremaine certainly has been better since T.J. Edwards came back. He is Scott Baer, covering the Bears for the Marquee Sports Network. Judson Richards along with you on 6-7 The Score. The Bears have won 4-2. That's pretty good sound for Ben Johnson, winning 4 of his first 6 as head coach. Speaking of fixing things, Scott, when you see there's a problem, we know that Ben Johnson said, yes, we need to take a look at this run game heading into the bye week. Since then, DeAndre Swift is averaging 7.1 yards per carry on his last 33 carries. What's impressed you the most about watching this revamp run game?
It's really been pretty strong, and I think going back to coaching, it's the types of runs that are available that accentuate DeAndre Swift's strengths. And I think that that's what we've been seeing. There were so many times during that Washington game back in week 6 where I was watching it and I'd be like, gosh, like this play call is perfect to get him to the edge and to get him in space. And I think that the Bears have done a good job of that. And you watch Kyle Manungai, right? And he's one of those guys where he sees the hole, whether the hole is there or not, he's going to run full speed forward into it, one cut, go, don't mess around. And you saw some runs from him. He had 81 yards. And you saw some runs from him that were fit for him. So I think that part of unlocking DeAndre Swift is his commitment to the details. I think a large part of it is we're starting to see this run game kind of come together, that there are some top-tier talent run blockers up front. Joe Tooney, obviously the future Hall of Famer, and Darnell Wright, in my opinion, is coming into his own in a way that has been very impressive over the last 2 weeks. So I do think that it's just about understanding who DeAndre Swift is, who he is not, and producing the plays that can, and play designs that can allow him to be special. And that's what we've seen over the course of the last couple games. The most impressive thing to me is in the fourth quarter, right? A run game can be your closer, right? And they closed down that game when the whole world knew that Ben Johnson was just going to run. The Saints still couldn't stop it. And that, I think, is a confidence builder within games. That's a confidence builder between games. And it's something that DeAndre Swift, I think, really took to heart, right? He's not, as far as I know him, he's not super extroverted, kind of a quieter guy. But I think he feels all these things, and not like he cares much about the criticism, but I think that he wants to do well. And when he wasn't doing well, it was frustrating. It was impacting him. But his ability to stay with it, grind, and again, just get really good coaching from the position coaching all the way up to the head coach, get really good coaching, and has really allowed him to take things up to the next level. Now, look, it's not always going to be 100 yards every single week. Baltimore's pretty good coming up next week too. But I think that these positive strides, if this run game can get going and be consistent, this Bears team is going to be super competitive and super tough to stop. I mean, the lowest amount of points they've scored is 21, and it's been over 24 every other game. Ben Johnson is scoring points. He's doing it his way. This looked more like a Lions rushing attack than I've seen, but it was good, smart coaching and good, smart play design.
What do you make of Theo Benedict?
Yeah, I talked to him in the locker room. He was pretty upset with himself. He told me and a couple other of the beat crew he did not play winning football. It was a harsh assessment. You could tell he was pretty upset with himself. He had some struggles, I would say, early on, but it's hard not trying to get a feel for offensive line play without really watching it back. I hate to say that, but it's hard to get a feel. I think he's a young, super talented dude who brings an aggressiveness and is a good run blocker, forward moving run blocker. But he's going to be learning. I mean, this is still an undrafted free agent from last year. Doesn't have tons of experience. I think they're going to ride with him because I think he gives them a lift. He is kind of a tone setter, and he's going to have to continue to work and develop throughout the course of this year. Ben Johnson keeps saying that the Bears will be playing their best football in December. I believe that Theo Benedict, with how he's wired, will be playing far better in December than he is right now, and he's not altogether terrible right now.
Yeah. And he was going up against a well-rested Chase Young. You could certainly tell, and I'm sure that's what was bothering him. He is Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network, does a great job covering your Chicago Bears. Justin Richards with you on 6-7 The Score. Scott, what'd you make of Caleb Williams' game today?
Yeah, that's another one where he took to the podium, and I'm actually writing something for Monday morning about how kind of Caleb Williams said, "I didn't play well."
And I would agree.
Goodness that, yeah, and I mean, it was his fifth lowest passer rating of his career. He didn't look good kind of throwing the ball downfield. He kind of lamented some of the missed explosive play opportunities. There's one that I can think of off the top of my head where he has Luther Burden come back to the ball and Caleb is running and he just kind of worm burns it, to use a baseball parlance, right? And just kind of never really gets it there. And Rome Odunze, I don't think had his best game by any stretch. I think he had two catches for 30-something yards on five or six targets. Two of those targets could have been explosive plays. They would have been tough plays, but he wasn't able to hold on to them due to the kind of the physical collision that happens. I think he would tell you he should have probably made both of those. That's what you've come to expect from this guy, and it didn't really click. This passing game wasn't very good, to be honest with you. I don't think, and this is part of what I'm writing, is I don't think it's such a problem that are we concerned that the passing attack is going to be bad for a while. I don't think that's the issue. I think they had a bad day at the office, and I think Caleb Williams is a good player who is surrounded by good players, and they just never found sync. And to be honest with you, thank goodness that run game was going as well as it was, or this outcome may not have been an L because the defense played so well, but it could have been a lot different.
Yeah, I would agree. You know what bothered me most about Caleb Williams' game is because I'm not expecting perfection. I will take into consideration he's on his second offensive coordinator. He's a young player, and Ben Johnson is asking him to do a lot. And it is the most difficult thing to do in sports, in my opinion, is to play that position as at a franchise level. The thing that bothered me about Caleb's game is he looked disjointed and kind of disconnected from the game out of the jump, right? Like, you had like the snap that he missed out of shotgun. Like, that ball needs to be caught, the exchange under center. He just looked disconnected from the game, and from a guy you hope to be your franchise quarterback, like, you don't get to warm up into the second quarter because you set expectations, you set the tone, you are the leader if this is a guy you want to be your franchise quarterback, right? Like, I don't want perfection, but I need you ready to play when the game begins.
Yeah, it was weird, and there were lots of pre-snap penalties and false starts and things that didn't really look all that great. And I think they won the coin toss and then elected to receive and then went out there and they didn't go three and out, but they essentially did.
Pretty much,
it was kind of a blown possession. And then the Saints make it a game by kind of going 2-for-1, scoring touchdowns at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second. But to your point on Caleb, I thought this was his worst game of the year, and he hasn't necessarily always been good, but there's always a couple of plays per game where you're like, oh, well, that's he's the only dude on the planet who can make that throw, or he's 1 of 5. And I didn't get a feel for any of those.
No,
but
he did a lot of figure eights today. Like, he looked like me in the parking lot when I first got my license at 16 years old, like just spinning around and spinning around and spinning around. There was a lot of that.
Yeah, and I think he had a tough time kind of finding his receivers down the field. And but the one thing Ben Johnson always talks about, needing to get 70% completion percentage, if I can say that right. And he was nowhere near that today, somewhere around 57. But to get that completion percentage high, that means that you're using your productive outlets, right? Using kind of checkdowns and using your third progression just to get 4 or 5 yards when it matters to keep the chains moving, stay on schedule. I didn't see a lot of that either. He had that big fourth down play to Colson Loveland, a couple of those to the tight end. I thought the offensive pass interference was an absolute disaster of a call. I talked to Colson about it after the game, and he was like, I'll have to go back and look at it. I didn't see it. And somebody else told him, they're like, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Right. So there were some setbacks there that maybe limited some explosive plays. But I think the best way to sum up Caleb Williams' day was there was a pass to DeAndre Swift that got negated by penalty, right? And it was like a, I don't think it was a screen, but basically he had Swift wide open down the right sideline, right? And then he threw the ball too close to the out of bounds marker. Swift had to like go get it and barely stay in bounds and lost the ability to turn that into what very well should have been a touchdown. And it's those types of things. It was not being in sync with where his receivers are. But again, I don't think this is like, let's pull the fire alarm, right? Like,
no.
I just don't think that that's where we are here, but it wasn't a good showing. But I do think, I don't care what Baltimore's record is, there's no way that the offense can be one dimensional against that team in that stadium against that quarterback and be able to come out of it with a W. The Saints are not a good football team. The Bears had a clear talent disparity and advantage, and you can get away with those against the Saints, and that's fine. Go win that game, tally it up, they all count the same. But I don't think you're going to be able to do the same thing in Baltimore. Too much talent there, even with all the injuries that they're dealing with. That passing game has got to be better, and I think it's going to be better.
4 takeaways should not be a 26-14 final, and I put a lot of that
on
Caleb Williams. But just one note on that. Interesting graphic by your Marquee Sports Network, Scott. His 2024 completion percentage through 6 games, 65.3% as of right now. 6 games in 2025, 61.1%. That is a long way from 70%. Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network. Scott, final one for you. 4-2. I don't recall where you had the Bears in your projections before the season began. Do we need to rethink our projections or expectations for the 2025 Bears now?
Yeah, I think you do. I was floating around the 7 wins would be a victory type of thing over the course of the year. But the thing that is different for me is their ability to win close games. And I know that I promise like I'm not on Ben Johnson's payroll, right? But this is what good coaching looks like. And I know I have not been very kind to Matt Eberflus, both when he was employed by the Bears and then afterward. But this is what good coaching looks like. This is how you win close games when you don't play your best. The Bears are nowhere close to playing a complete four-quarter football game. They are not there yet, and yet they are still 4-2 with plenty of room to improve. But this coaching staff sees problems, finds solutions. They don't complain. They take accountability. We've heard Ben Johnson say, it's on me as a play caller. I didn't get it in time. Very open, very transparent with his role in all this. And I think the same thing goes for defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, is that when you have good coaching, you have good coordinators, and frankly, you have good players, right? You are going to do better when it matters most. The Bears have been good when it matters most to this point. They are not perfect. They are a couple miles from it. But that's how I reconfigure the expectations. Also, you go back and you look on the, you know, on the schedule in May when it gets released and you're like, Bengals on the road. Good yep. night. Well, now you got Flacco and I know Flacco had a great game, but you have Flacco instead of Burrow, and some of these games down the road maybe look a little bit different, but I do think that the expectation should be higher. And Caleb Williams talked about it at the end of the game, and he used kind of weird phrasing, but I can sum it up this way. He said, we go in knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, knowing that we are going to win. Are we going to win every game? No. But there's a faith and a belief in this leadership. Montez Sweat said it too. We just follow Ben. Right? That's what we do. And we follow his intensity. We follow his intention to detail, and they have proof of concepts. So I think that's why if they're internally feeling, and they're starting to walk out, they're being like, we can win against anybody. Nobody is an automatic L for us. I think that changes how we should view them, because that's the way that they're viewing themselves. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff contender at the end of the year, right, Judson? But I think that what they've shown is the Cowboys, pretty good team, right? And Washington, having some scuffles, pretty good team. And they found ways to win both of those games. I think that's huge, and I think the Bears are starting to be deserving of our respect for Bears fans across the Chicagoland, where they can definitely hear you on 670 AM The Score.
Scott Baer, the Marquee Sports Network. Well done. Always enjoy talking Bears with you. Thanks for staying up with us, Scott.
All right, Judson. Thank you, my guy.
There he is, Scott Baer. And let's put it out to you out there. Text line has been busy this morning as well. Are you resetting your expectations about who the 2025 Bears can be? You can text us or call us 312-644-6767. I got some thoughts on that as well coming up on the other side. We will hear from Caleb Williams in full on his postgame comments about the game that he thought he had against the Saints, and so we'll talk about that. I also want to remind you of this. This Sunday, join the Score and Circus Sports Illinois at Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Molly will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Baltimore. That's Sunday at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Just a reminder of what's coming up. Speaking of Molly on Molly and Haw, 7 a.m., Olin Kreutz. Look forward to hearing him break down this run game. Not only how well the running backs are doing, but specifically what the offensive line is doing so well. 8 o'clock, T.J. Edwards. Boy, the Bears look different once T.J. Edwards has come back. T.J. Edwards will join Molly and Haw at 8 o'clock. And then from the Chicago Tribune, Brad Biggs will join the guys coming up at 9 o'clock. So a lot of great stuff. Bears coverage throughout the entire day on 6M of the Score. But coming up next, again, should we rethink the expectations of this Bears team? And, by the way, hard to believe that the Bears were 4-2 last year like they are this year. There are similarities and major differences between those two 4-2s. I'll tell you what they are coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And the Bears, for the second straight season, are going to start 4-2 in a season, and that's where you probably temper your enthusiasm a little bit if you're a Bears fan, because you saw it last year. Look ahead, though, and there are some winnable opportunities coming up.
One week at a time. The fans are going to want to look at this and project out, but Ben Johnson's not going to let his team do that. It's going to be one week at a time. You're going to be starting to get ready for the Ravens. Is Lamar Jackson coming back? That really changes what that team is going to be like, right? And I think one of the big things, don't forget, this team was 4-2 last year. They were coming back from the game in Europe. They had to be on cloud nine and excited with all the struggles that have happened. And that season just disintegrated. They lose 10 straight. You fire your head coach. I mean, it was a disaster. This team is not that. Ben Johnson has created a different atmosphere here, a different vibe. But expectations are going to ramp up as they start to go through the remainder of this season. And, you know, can they meet them? Can they exceed them? It's going to be fun to watch this team going forward.
All right, interesting back and forth there between Kevin Kugler and Moose Johnston on the call for Fox. Judson Richards back here with you on a Bears Monday on 6-7 The Score. Give us a shout. What do you make, not only what they just said, but are you applying that? Are you changing your expectations after the Bears stand at 4-2, have won four in a row, and are winning close games? Or do you temper set expectations because the Bears were 4-2 last year? 312-644-6767. Text line is open as well. It's hard to go back and think, how did I feel about the Bears at 4-2? Now, one of the things I do remember very clearly is The Bears went to London before the bye week last year. Like, it was very similar to this year a little bit. And, like, the Bears played the Commanders coming off of the bye week, just like they did this year. But coming off of the bye week last year, they absolutely beat the crap out of the Jaguars in London. Like, that was the best the offense looked. That was the best we'd seen Caleb Williams look. So you did feel like they'd certainly were trending upwards or hitting their stride. But then that game against the Washington Commanders, like, I think that was, what was that, a 16-14 final? Like, the Bears' offense was woeful until Caleb Williams ran around and did some spectacular things completely out of any sort of an offense, but in the fourth quarter to give them the lead, right? As opposed to today, where he wasn't good, but they still scored 26 points. That had a lot to do with it being on the ground. One of the things that they have in common of what we saw last year versus this year, from the good to this year to the bad of last year, is it all stemmed from embarrassment, right? The Hail Mary game last year was an embarrassment, especially to Tyrique Stevenson. And then they crumbled and went on to lose 10 consecutive games, like a house of cards. But this year, their winning streak began from an embarrassment. They have not lost since the Lions beat the Bears 52-21. An outright embarrassment. And much like we saw yesterday, with the way that the Bears seemed to rally around Dennis Allen, you felt like the Lions kind of rallied around Dan Campbell with the return of Ben Johnson. The amount of boos, and, you know, they took him leaving personally, which we can all make a lot of sense about why he would leave to take a head coaching job from being an offensive coordinator. It happens every single year all around the league. It's a very normal thing that he did, but you get worked up for things, right? It happens all the time. But how the Bears responded last year from their embarrassment is drastically different than what we saw from this year. And not only does it speak to the players in the locker room, albeit a lot of the same guys that went through that 10-game losing streak last year, more importantly, it speaks to the coaching staff. Remember coming off of that game, one of the things I appreciated, Ben Johnson did not make any excuses about what happened. And if anything, he challenged his team when he made the comments that we do not have championship caliber practice habits, which was kind of a duh statement when you just got the doors blown off of you. But he said it, made headlines. And what did the Bears do after that Lions loss? They played their best game of the year, in my opinion. They played their best game of the year against the Dallas Cowboys, especially offensively. You know, there was something that happened in college football that had me thinking about this exact thing. Anybody watch Arizona State versus number 7 Texas Tech? ASU had a great run last year. They are unranked right now, but they may get ranked. And they may have gotten ranked. I haven't looked. But they just beat number 7 Texas Tech over the weekend, 26-22. And their game previously before they beat number 7 Texas Tech was a 42-10 loss to Utah. Here's what Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham said after the game about this win over number 7 Texas Tech.
And I think anytime you have a win like this, it rejuvenizes your program. Especially after the embarrassment of, I still am going to talk about it because I'm still so embarrassed by it, of 2 weeks ago. So anytime you can have a win like this, it can definitely put you in the right direction. But the key is, doesn't make you complacent. You know, the reason we could win this game is because we lost the game prior. We don't win this game if we beat Utah. We don't win this game if we have close versus Utah. We only won this game because we were so embarrassed that our guys had a different level of intensity and focus, and we found it. And now the challenge is, through the praise, can we continue to have it? And so I would say it's a positive, but it can also be a negative if we don't use it to continue to drive us.
You know, I heard that and I thought of the Bears, and it was like that next level, that focus of intensity. And with that win, Arizona State has now found themselves back in the top 25, and now they're number 24. But, you know, to be pushed in that level of intensity, I'm sure Ben Johnson would love a chance to do that game over, but somewhere in there, you feel like there was a blessing of them getting beaten the way that they did. Because the season began very much of, we've read this book before, with the way that they lost to the Minnesota Vikings, holding a lead at home on Monday Night Football. So you go from that loss, and I don't know if that affected them with the way that they went up against the Detroit Lions, or Detroit was just much more altogether put together unit for a team that won, what, 15 games last year? But since that game, they have not lost a game. They have not been perfect by any means, but we all know that you can see a team when they're going through a here-we-go-again moment. In fact, nothing may describe the 2024 Bears more than, uh-oh, here we go again, as you find yourself in a late loss. Remember, 5 of those 10 losses last year in that losing streak came by single-digit one-score games. But this 4-game winning streak, 2 of them have been one-score games. And the game yesterday, the win over the Saints, that found itself being a one-score game when it was 20-14. But there felt like the complete opposite of what we watched last year, and that's a no panic and some confidence that they were going to get it done. Right? Like this was not a team that Saints came up 20-14 and there was a panic and, you know, everyone had deer in the headlights look. That wasn't it at all. So the question is now, do we have to reassess what we think of the 2025 Bears? Well, I'll tell you this. The Bears, as of now, they do not have a win against a team who is over 500. When they played the Commanders, they were 3-2. But the Bears' wins, Dallas, Las Vegas, Washington, New Orleans, the record of those four opponents add up to 9-18. So the opponents combined that they've beaten have a .333 winning percentage.
That's really tough.
Now, the Raiders are 2-5. The Saints are now 1-6. But on the other side of that coin, the NFL does not have a lot of runaway juggernauts that you think you can't compete with. And the NFC North looks drastically different this year, especially with the Minnesota Vikings, who are in last place in the NFC North, by the way. The NFC North does not look terrifying. Lions have the Bucs tonight, right? Monday Night Football?
Yeah. It's going to be Seattle and Houston and then Detroit and Tampa Bay.
I'm not big on the Monday Night doubleheaders. It's just like
It's okay on some nights when you have like Miami going against the New York Jets, so you can flip on the other game. But yeah,
here's what it is, young Grant. It's too much when you have kids. Like, you know, like I can't watch all the games, so I feel like selfishly, it's like just give me one so I can try to carve that out that time. And I can't keep, you know, like you've got. Do we have a game 7 coming up tonight in the ALCS?
Well, it's like they did force it to a game 7. I'll have to double check right. If it's tonight.
I think it might be tonight. I just, it's like there's too many things I can't keep up with selfishly.
It's tonight.
It is tonight.
7 p.m.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
So, you know, you got two. I guess more is better when it comes to watching games, but I will have to make time for game 7. I will absolutely have to make time for the Lions and the Bucks. I think there's a good chance that the Lions could be 4-3 after tonight.
I mean, Baker's playing so well right now.
Packers are 4-1-1. So listen, the Bears don't, we're going to hear from Caleb Williams in just a minute. The Bears do not have what I would consider to be an impressive victory. Washington, I know that's impressive because of what happened last year. But I don't think the Commanders are a great team by any means. They're 3-4. Jaden Daniels just got hurt again. He couldn't come back in. He's got a hamstring injury. So they don't have any impressive wins, but the league is not overly impressive.
If they beat Baltimore with Lamar coming back and he plays. Is that an impressive win?
Yes. Yes.
There
it's,
you go.
It's in Baltimore, right?
Yes,
I
mean,
I don't know, but they're 1-5.
That is right. It's a very good 1-5 team, though.
Okay, so here's what you got for the next three for the Bears, right? You got the Ravens, who are 1-5, coming off of a bye, and Lamar Jackson has missed a number of games. He hasn't missed all the games.
Just two.
And part of the Ravens' biggest problem is their defense as well. So, you know, that all adds up to the Ravens just not being very good. Then you've got the Bengals on November 2nd. The Bengals are 3-4. They did just beat the Steelers. I don't know how or why you're trading quarterbacks in division for one that started your season, like the Cleveland Browns just traded Joe Flacco to the Bengals. That's wild. And then you've got the Giants, who look like they've found something with Jackson Dart, but absolutely blow what should have been a victory over the Broncos, and they lose 33-32 on Sunday, and so the Giants are 2-5. So you got the 1-5 Ravens coming off a bye, who will get Lamar back, the 3-4 Bengals, and then the 2-5 Giants over the next three games. I can say with confidence those are all very, very winnable games for the Bears, and they should be recognized as the better team against all of those teams.
If they go 2-1 in that stretch, that's very good for the Bears going forward.
Absolutely, especially what put them at 6-3. I mean, it's they've played themselves into a really good place to be better than a lot of us thought they would be, including myself, who had them at 8-9. I had them winning 8 games. I will absolutely change my expectations to them being a team that can be over 500 this year. But they had 10 penalties for 92 yards against the Saints. You're not going to beat good teams that way. You cannot trade field goals for touchdowns or touchdowns for field goals, whoever you would say that. You know what I mean? They got to be better in the red zone. Like, that should have been a 31-0 game at halftime. Even 31-7, and Ben Johnson made a good point with the Saints scoring as they did to end the second quarter. If the Bears don't go 3-and-out and give the ball back immediately, then you don't have the defense back out there on the field. So the passing game will have to be better. They got to be better in the red zone, and they have to clean up these penalties if you want to start talking about this being a playoff-caliber team, especially if you take a look at who they've beaten. Caleb Williams against the Ravens absolutely has to be better if they plan on winning that game. Here was Caleb after the game.
Caleb, it seemed a few times when plays were breaking down, you rode outside the
pocket.
And there seemed like there was room in front of you. For you or your vantage point, what determines whether you take off and run or try to find someone open downfield?
I think it just comes down to understanding the situation. I think it also comes down to being able to get our players an explosive ball. If we complete the passes that, I missed, I missed about 5 or 6, I think, on the run, which is extremely frustrating for me, especially just kind of how, my nature's been for past couple years of my career. And, I think if I hit those, nothing said. But, it's just being able to understand in those situations that even if I'm not hitting or anything like that, how a QB run in those situations where maybe, the defense calls a good call or a perfect call or whatever the case may be, the QB takes off and gets positive yards. I think I've done a good job with that so far this year. I think today I did not. And so just being able to learn from it and move on.
Do you have any sense for why you didn't do a good job with that today?
Any reason that? I think guys got open. And I think I missed. I think that's what it boils down to. And then, other than that, it's just being able to have have it on my conscience that, I can help this team, not only by scrambling and delivering a good ball to, receivers, which I didn't do that well, today. And is also understanding that I can run and, hurt a team with my legs.
The team in the locker room seems to be a great place to be at 4-2.
Yes.
Also a lot of room for improvement. How do you
Absolutely.
Put those two things together and build a mindset.
Yeah, think about it. I threw an interception today, and defense had 4 turnovers, 4 sacks. I threw an interception. I didn't play well today. And then the offensive line, you know, pushes us through. DeAndre Swift and the backs push us through for 200 plus yards on ground. And so it's being able to find ways to win is what we've been able to do. And we're going to keep doing that. But it's also being able to find ways to come together as one, that when defense has a turnover, we go down and put 7 on the board, not a field goal. And that accounts for me, that accounts for all of us on offense, that accounts for just everything overall. And so it's just being able to execute the plays that are called. It's being able to, when you have those moments for explosive plays, we connect on them, I deliver a good ball, or, you know, offensive line does a good job of blocking up and the back's hitting the hole and having explosive plays. So I think overall there's a lot of growth that can be had. It's insane to think that, and we're 4-2, about how much growth we have left, myself included. And, you know, we want to hit the ground running at the right time, where we're all hitting on all cylinders. Defense is playing, you know, great. And I want to, you know, have them have their back, and just like they have ours. And we want to keep that rolling.
How frustrating is it to see the pre-snap penalties and there's some center snap exchange problems? Drew took blame for that.
Yep.
Tough that's that kind of
turn
today.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you, it's you know the pre-snap stuff, the center QC exchange, it is frustrating just because we put so much time and energy into it, but I wouldn't say I put that on Drew or anybody. You know, I can take that blame just because. It comes down to cadence. It comes down to, you know, everybody being on one page and having everybody calm and understanding, you know, we're going to go execute this play. And, you know, we just need to snap the ball at the right time be able to hit plays at the right time, execute the plays. And, you know, that comes down to communication. That comes down to, you know, knowing what we have to do. That comes down to the cadence at the end of the day. And so I can always help in those situations. You know, we'll be better with that coming forth.
How do you handle the progress being kind of up and down?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's be linear and just progressively steps forward. How do you deal with step forward, step back?
Yep.
Game like today.
Yeah. You're saying for myself or offense? What are you saying?
Either one. Which one do you want to
answer? I'll go for myself. Days like today, I would say, are needed. Just in the sense of it, you know, it gives you a little bit more to be able to look back on something and figure out what. And so that's important. And so you have these moments, and then you get later in the season, and, you know, you may start to have one of these moments, and you get to go back to the feeling, go back to, you know, what was wrong and you know, what you need to figure out early in the season. And so now, you know, when we're late in the season, it's like, okay, I remember what it was. I remember, you know, how can I fix it? It's more of a solution-based, you know, thing instead of it being like, you know, what's the issue? Right now we're going to go back. I'm going to go look at the film. I'm going to figure out, and I am going to figure this out, especially with, you know, some of these explosive plays, some of these, you know, mainly talking about the on-the-run stuff. I haven't been efficient with those. I haven't been hitting them, and it's frustrating. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to figure it out. When we start hitting on those cylinders, where we start having some of these explosive plays, especially, you know, when the play breaks and it turns into our second play, it's going to be, real devastating to the other side. So we're going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. It just comes down to the basics, feet, eyes, delivering a good ball to the guys. And then it comes down to, like I said before, communication and make sure everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we're rolling off the ball.
Caleb, in your life, high school, college, pros, have you ever had a game like this where you weren't particularly prolific and your team still won?
I can't necessarily off the top of my head name the game, but yeah, there's been games where, you know, I may not have had my best game, and you know, maybe ran the ball. I think there was a game where we ran the ball for around 200 yards and I had 100 something yards passing and maybe one touchdown, and you know, you're just as excited. I mean the progress that we've had overall on offense, especially you know, coming off these past 2 weeks of being able to run the damn ball. As every offensive line wants to do and says. There are things that I can be better at. There are things that I'm going to be better at. There are things that, weren't hitting today. And you know, you just have those days sometime. It's nice that We have a defense, we have a special teams, a punter, or whatever you want to say, kicker, that can put us ahead, that can help us win games, a run game that can, you know, control the game. And so, you know, we get this figured out on my side. We'll be, you know, we'll be putting up a lot of points. It'll be very dangerous.
Caleb, back after the loss in Detroit, you set an optimistic tone saying that we got 15 games left. And
yep.
Sensibly, you won four straight sits. What's the feeling for you now, 4-2, and looking ahead to what can come here?
Yeah, belief. Still. It's confidence. It's belief. It's living in the know, the known. You know, the feeling of myself this year in the sense of when we have games, when we're going through the game plan, you know, when we get to the end of the week, it's more of a feeling of we know we're going to win. And, you know, that's not always going to be the case, but the feeling of it is different than, you know, maybe, you know, or you know, we got to go out here and play a perfect game or anything like that. It's living in the known of the feeling of we're going to come out here and win the game. And obviously a lot of things have to go right, and we got to execute, and we got to, you know, communication, all these different things. Defense has played well, offense has played well, special teams, all three sides of the ball. But living in the known is kind of where we're at. Even when we were 0-2, we were still living in the known that we're going to, you know, fight back, and, you know, we're going to be 2-2, and then we'll go 3-2, and then we'll be 4-2. And so it's living in the known. We have to, you know, do things throughout the week, hard work, you know, stand late, do all the right things. But living in the known is where we're living, and, you know, we got to stay there. We got to keep being consistent. We got to, you know, hold each other accountable. We got to do the right things to be able to stay consistent and be the team we want to be.
What's your interpretation of how the running game has gotten unlocked the way it has the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's come down to one mentality. I think the other one is the way the coaches have been able to help us on the offense and things like that, of, you know, shifts and motions and things like that. When you start shifting in motion and, you know, you have crisscross when the ball is snapped, also it affects defenses and it puts people out of place so that it can help with, you know, double teams or triple teams or, you know, getting up to the second level. And when you start getting up to the second level, like I said last week, and we got the backs that we have and things like that, you start seeing, you know, big creases and, you know, real explosive positive runs, and that only helps us. We got to keep that rolling, and we got to get the other half going back going again.
Yeah, like 4-2
compared to last year's 4-2. Yeah, I would say similar in a way, obviously, just because you're 4-2 and, you know, you got things rolling. But I think at this moment, I think what I said recently or just a minute ago is the living in the known of. You know, if we do the right things throughout the week, if we practice the right ways, if we, you know, if we do enough studying, if we watch enough film, if we do all the right things, we got the coaches, we got the players, we got the belief in each other, coaches, everybody, everybody inside that building, that we will, you know, come out with a win. And, you know, I think that's the difference.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.
Living in the known. I so badly want to hear him say living in the now, just because that feels like it's the saying, but perhaps living in the known is something that the Bears have going along or around in their locker room. It just doesn't really roll off the tongue like living in the now does, but I certainly understand what he's saying. And it's like no one wants to reference last year. I don't blame him, by the way, but like no one wants to do a real comp as to last year and this year, especially Ben Johnson, because he wasn't here. But one thing about last year is they were just not going to be any good because they didn't have the coaching staff. That's really what it comes down to. Like the belief of what we're watching, you can watch the snowball effect of it. And I believe that that's great coaching, right? Like I think I heard Olin Krutz say, like, how long is Al Harris really going to be around to be the Bears' secondary coach with how well he's coaching them up? Like I love watching Antoine Randall L. watch with these wide receivers. I mean, what do you think Eric Bieniemy is really doing for these guys? I think he's doing ultimately a ton. So the coaching staff has created it, and then the players have been able to get it done when they take the field. Caleb was not great today by any means. 15-26, 172 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. I will say this about Caleb, though. If you follow the NFL, if you've been just watching what a lot of the theme has been throughout the year, it's been that a lot of QB1s have gotten hurt. Like, a lot of QB1s have missed time, including Joe Burrow, who seems to be the most top-tier quarterback missing the most time. And so he will not be with the Bengals when the Bears play him in a couple of weeks. But, you know, Kyler Murray was out today with the foot injury. We all know Lamar Jackson has missed time with a hamstring injury. Jaden Daniels again had to leave the game yesterday, and he is out with a hamstring injury this time. Brock Purdy has a significant toe injury. Justin Fields missed a game or two with a concussion, right? J.J. McCarthy is not out there. Bryce Young had to leave the game with an ankle injury. Caleb is durable, man. Caleb is tough, and Caleb is durable. I don't want to jinx him, but I think that the dude is just strong and he's built. And I think at times he knows how to get out of bounds or knows how to avoid a hit and not take a major hit. Every once in a while he does. He shouldn't. He should avoid them at all cost. But at least Caleb seems to be a really, really durable and tough quarterback. So he is there game in, game out. That has been one of his best strengths since he's been under center for the Bears. Got some things to clean up with that. Completion percentage, though, 61% this year so far. But the Bears do get the win, 26-14 the final. They improved to 4-2 on the season, and they are on a four-game winning streak. You want to talk about it? Let's do so. 312-644-6767. Phone calls and texts. Are you resetting, reevaluating, reassessing your expectations for the 2025 Bears? We also check in with that post-game show here on 6-7 The Score. Their reaction to the Bears now winning four in a row. That's coming up next on 6-7 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
La 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 la, Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.